again.
Correct. He could not make it.
We're gonna,
hello, happy Thursday.
Watch the Pens game again.
No, I don't think it was that this time. I think it's just been a rough week. That's all. So, all right, anyway, what's up, Thursday Warriors and such?
I'm trying to get it where my glasses aren't bouncing glare back at it, so I don't look like it's working.
Meh, it's all right. I mean, I deal with glare all the time, mostly off my face and like glistening sweat. So,
mine has the screen is bouncing back and forth, so you're seeing exactly what I'm watching on there.
Yeah, that's fair. So, how about remember like 3 weeks ago when I changed my guitar order, and then like it was supposed to come in like January to be faster.
Yes.
So I'm like, man. That auto pay didn't kick on that credit card lately. So I'm going to go check out and see what's up. So I look and I'm like, why do I have full amount of money in here? This is weird. Like no charges at all. So here they canceled the original order and then never redid the new order at all. So, right. So,
wow.
So I'm like, all right, Guitar Center. How are you going to make this right? Because now I'm going to have to order this thing 3 weeks later than originally planned anyway.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's already been like almost 3 months since I actually ordered the original guitar. So
they should just give you one for free at this point because they screwed you
over. Well, so, shout out to, what was his name? Andre? Whoever the dude was that helped me. He was badass. Not only did he get me the black, so I'm back to the black one, but now it's supposed to be in 18 days, and wow. Andy gave me 15% off for their fuck up, and they're not supposed to do that on signature guitars. So I made save some
winning.
Money, save myself winning. Like $100. Boom.
There you go.
This is the ridiculousness of my day.
That'll make up for the money you spent in Baltimore, so it kind of evens out. You're even.
That's kind of true. Yeah. See myself a little scratch.
Yeah. Shout out to my poor sister. They could not make it due to the hurricane coming through.
Ooh.
So her and my niece, they were not coming in this weekend. And it was a shame because my niece has never seen snow yet. So they were looking forward to seeing snow, so I was like, oh, spoiled little child in Florida wants to see snow. Okay.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't think you're really going to see it until like February anyway. So
yeah,
you got time.
Yeah. They rescheduled for February. So fair. I was like, okay.
All right. So, just a couple things to remind everybody, some housekeeping. This Saturday, if you're into Magic, Brothers War drops and pre-releases are, I guess it's technically more of a release weekend instead of a pre-release weekend.
That's what Scott was telling me. They're going through this giant palette of Magic cards, and I'm like, I've never seen Magic shipped this way before. And he's like, oh, they just sent us everything this time. And I'm like,
It's weird. Wow. So they're trying for this set and the next set. They basically sent everything except the bundle boxes, so the quote unquote fat packs. So those are the only things that aren't here yet. Everything else to be able to start buying starting tomorrow. I don't know if there's a time frame, but I think it's after 3. That's usually what they did for anything else, like on a pre-release weekend. So but they're kind of, it's kind of merging the two, so it's more of a launch event. So if you don't care about playing in a pre-release style event, you can just buy a box and get out of there, or buy a couple packs and get out of there. If you like playing the event, you can play the event and then immediately buy some more stuff before you head on out. That's how it's working now. They're going to try it out for 2 times. We'll see how it goes. I'm just interested to see how it goes.
People have been asking that for decades.
Well,
I remember when I used to play on a regular basis.
No, what retailers have been asking. No, what happened is, so they started putting, they give you a little bit during pre-release weekend that you could sell as box only, which was fine. Yeah. But the problem is pre-release weekend for us is launch weekend for Walmart, Target, Kmart, everything else. So not that Kmart exists anymore. Don't know why I said that. So everybody else has to, or is releasing it on pre-release weekend, and we can't release anything but the full box. So they just said, nope, we're going to flip it. So now the LCSs and the LGSs are getting all of the product this week. And then next week is when Walmart and all those other guys are supposed to take care of it. So we're going to see how it goes. And we're also not allowed to sell it online for a week, which is also weird, but whatever. But I think it's cool. I'm willing to check it out and try it. I'm going to end up playing Friday night in Cranberry only because my Saturday plans have now gotten real crazy. And I'll just tell you about that off air, because it's just me wanting to pound my head off the ground. It's real bad. So anyway, with that, then the following Saturday is our Hunker Down for the Holiday Sale. 10% off graphic novels, 20 or 25% off regular back issues, 10% off all comic supplies. So your boards, your boxes, your bags, your dividers, like the portfolio boxes like these, the big plastic bins.
Anything that will protect and hold your comic book, that's what we're going to put on sale.
Yeah, yeah. Top loader, like comic top loaders, all that, 10% off. Buy what you need, stock up, do some fun for, like, get it ready for when you're sitting alone and it's cold outside and you just want to go through your boxes and redo everything. This is where you stock up for it. Then the following week, local comic shop day is that following Wednesday. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We're going to have some local comic shop day single books to check out. Make sure you check those out that day. The store's ordered really low on these this year, so they're going to be very, very few and far between. So make sure you check them out. And then Black Friday, we have our Black Friday sale, 20% off. You spend $50 or more on pretty much everything. Some things will be excluded per location, so make sure you check with the location before, and you'll find something fun. I mean, you can't buy this because I bought it, but this is for Tim. Not really. I'm holding it up for Tim. I was going to be like, look at my copy of this, Tim. It's so nice. But unfortunately, he couldn't make it on the show tonight, so I can't.
You pulled a carton out of that. South Park. You're like, Katie, look. Yeah. You're so poor. If you're not, I can buy.
I mean, to be fair, I just paid my credit card off, and then I was like, oh, dumb money. So speaking of which, that was from that Spider-Man collection. I've actually had that for a couple weeks, like since the first show we went and did. I bought it like the day we came back. That Spider-Man run is only in Cranberry for another week. A week and a half. The Hunker Down sale is pretty much the last one. So try to be there. Try to go check it out. And then it's going to move to Elwood. It'll be in Elwood City for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And then it'll be kicked out among the stores mid-December. And also all of the stores are going to be rotating their new wall books, or their pricey wall, their case books and things that same week, that same Tuesday. So make sure you guys, not this coming Tuesday, but the one after that, go and check that out. And pick up some cool wall books and check out some new stuff, because it's all going to be rotated around. I would probably say try to buy it by the Hunker Down sale. So, yeah. All right.
Cool.
So we're going to talk some comics. And then Justin and I got last minute invited to a pre-screening of Wakanda Forever. So we're going to talk about that at the end. So we'll talk about comics, and then we'll let you guys know that there'll be a spoiler. And we'll just talk about it. Although I'm pretty sure we could talk about it without spoiling it.
Yeah.
Too much. I mean, yeah, really, I think like most of it was spoiled in the trailer.
Yeah. So. I mean, like there are certain details we probably shouldn't say, like the end credit scene. We're going to leave that be.
Yeah. You should just say for that. Anyway, wait. Yeah. Like we're getting ahead of ourselves. Talks of comics.
Okay.
Dialing it down. All right. My first book. Traveling Mars.
Oh, it has a guitar on it. Of course you picked that one up.
Well, I was like, this seems interesting. So I'm only in the first book, and it's about this guy who gets picked to fly a ship to Mars and then plant a flag on Mars. It's from a Blaze Comics, and it was interesting because the reason that he's chosen is because he has a certain kind of cancer that stops spreading in zero gravity. So when he gets, like, the whole trip to Mars extends his life, but then when he gets to Mars, it will start eating at him again and he will die. So he agrees to do this for his family to get like $10 million. And it's kind of like his backstory, and he's like a pet store manager in Alabama. It was kind of a nice flow to the story. And then he's like, well, what happens when you get to Mars? Like, he's like, well, they put enough food in there for me to have for about a week. I have enough air for a month. Maybe I'll just go and pull my helmet off. And the doctor's like, you don't want to do that, because the way it works with water on Mars is the water in your body would actually boil and you would die, like being boiled from the inside out. And he's like, yeah, that sounds like a really bad way to go. So
apparently that was, it's slightly better than the cancer that he's already dealing with.
Right? Right? That's what I'm saying. So it's interesting to see. It's definitely an interesting take on that kind of a story. But it ends, like, there's also a backer story, which I didn't read. But like the cliffhangery ending, hold on, I had it and then I lost it. They just kind of like shoot him off into space, and he wasn't really ready for the launch. And then all of a sudden he's like, wait, I'm not ready. And then there's like, oh shit. And he's stuck floating in space. So that was pretty much it.
Okay.
What you got?
Well, I'm going to save my non-normal book for the second one, but the first is actually a twofer. I'm a Wolverine fan. So a little bit behind on the Wolverine. I've just got caught up. I'm going to start from, 25? Number 25 into 26, which was released today. So it's a start of a new story arc. And this is just after the Avengers, X-Men, Eternals thing, where he had his own judgment, because every major Marvel character had a judgment. He was no exception. He had one, which, you know, spoiler alert, he got found worthy, which is really weird considering. But it was an interesting story how he got worthy. But anyway, it starts out of, for those who remember, you know, everything going on with the X-Men, of course, Wolverine is one of the major enforcers. Well, one of his human friends is Jeff from the CIA. He kind of looks like a long-haired hippie. His daughter has cancer and is being cured through Krakoa medicine. Her cancer is like subsiding, and Wolverine is kind of taking them as his friends. And usually when there's, the friend, you know, if you're Wolverine's friend, you got, you're either a mutant that fights and lives on, or you have a tragic backstory. And this is kind of where it was starting to go. This starts more where it is Jeff's look on life about he's bored, because he's kind of semi-retired from the CIA since his girl's been sick. Meanwhile, Wolverine is kind of the opposite, where he wants the boring because ever since Krakoa, it's been nonstop battling. He's been battling for Krakoa against humans, against invaders, against Eternals. And he's like doing a very kind of, I'm wishing for like the little things in life that you miss while you're battling world ending, you know, calamities and
world ending.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much he's in catastrophe after catastrophe, fight after fight. And he's kind of just like, he'll catch moments where there's a butterfly in the middle of this big fight. And he just happens to fixate on it for a second while he's doing it. But anyway, Jeff meets this cute lady on a beach eating her lunch, and they flirt a little bit, and you know, like, okay, I was like, that's obvious. And Wolverine gets called in to do some training in Krakoa with X-Force. Yeah, he's kind of in a pissy mood, and in true Wolverine fashion, he's like, Wolverine, yeah,
I'm pissy. What?
Yeah. But lying. Him and Beast kind of get into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm out. I'm going to go, you know, whatever. Well, he decides to do a little CIA wet work with Jeff. They end up running into the lady who happens to be, what's his name? The minister, or I don't know some of these weird D-list villains, but he had like a holographic thing to make him look like a hot chick. Meanwhile, he's like some 80-year-old dude. But they end up handcuffing Jeff and handcuffing Wolverine using handcuffs they found in Weapon X. And they start like ripping pieces of Wolverine, like pieces of Wolverine off of him and everything. It gets kind of gory, which for normal Wolverine like stuff, it's like, okay. No, this is like, it transitions into the next book, which it's the continued torture of it. And of course he dies and he wakes up, and he's more, when he wakes up from his, you know, being reincarnated, he's pissed, you know, like you would imagine he would be.
Right.
Well, he was extra nasty. And that's when Beast starts interjecting. And it's like a really weird thing with Beast. I don't know if this is like the start of Beast being like using humans and using Wolverine for his own means. But it ends up being the book of, he kind of rescues Wolverine by killing him. He takes Wolverine's like remains of the body that doesn't get reanimated and everything, and just uses them for his own purposes. And it's really, it's more of a, like the background characters and Wolverine's just being used at this point. You don't see what happens to Jeff. I'm kind of worried that they probably killed him. Okay. But don't know yet. It's just the beginning of the new story arc, so it's just kind of the first two issues. But it looks like Beast is using him for his own thing, and he's getting to be more like Dark Beast from Age of Apocalypse, where he's more evil. He seems,
is it just because evil. He's like doing, because he's like wanting to experiment more on things, or
I don't know. It seems like he's kind of, he's just had enough. Evil? he's just had enough.
You're legitimately evil.
And he I think he kind of snapped.
Okay.
He even dressed up like Patch, which was hilarious because he has that, his one eye's all scarred up and everything.
Yeah.
So he wore a patch over his scarred up eye. And Wolverine's Eve is like, what the hell are you doing? You're ripping off my style, man. What the fuck?
That's hilarious.
So I'm like, okay. So I'm interested to see where this is going. With Wolverine comics, you kind of have to take a little bit of time to read and see where this story goes. But so far, so good. Like, it's not like spectacular. It's a slow build, but I'm enjoying it so far. So
cool.
See where it goes.
All right. My next book, She-Hulk 7 from last week, because I totally missed picking it up. I just love the very first page. It's like her in bed with Jack Parts. It's awesome.
Kind of looks like Gambit there a little bit.
Oh no, it's because like half of his body's purple. So there's some kind of budding relationship between Jack Parts and She-Hulk that kind of came to a halt or came to a head at the end of the last issue. So they're kind of figuring that out. She goes into work because Anthony the robot has someone for him to talk to. She walks in her office and it's Dr. Doom in a suit saying, I'm Doom. But you then find out, due to Victor Mancha from the Runaways being there, that that's actually a Doom bot.
Wow.
So, and that Anthony met Doombot at a robot meeting and Victor at a robot meeting, because they're all technically robots because Victor is technically a cyborg. So apparently Doombot like ran a red light and the cops pulled him over, and then the cops were like talking to him and they realized that, where they think that he's Dr. Doom, and she was like, well, why would they think that? And he just goes, I am Doom. So it's like,
God,
I can see why. So they're trying to get, basically they need a lawyer to fight this because they think they're trying to put all of Dr. Doom's bad shit on trial with the Doombot. And the Doombot's just trying to be good because he actually helped save the world back in Avengers AI. So that was like the interesting middle chunk. And then she goes over to April's house to talk with Mark, the big kind of hulky dude who attacked her in one of the previous issues. And he basically whoops her ass in the living room, puts some handcuffs on her, throws her in the basement. And you see it's her stand like, it's her like looking up at this shattered like tube thing like this. And then somebody has like, there's like all kinds of She-Hulk information on the wall there. So it's definitely interesting to find out, like, is are they trying to like do something like they were trying to do in the show, where they were trying to steal her DNA to create other Hulks? What's going on? I don't know. You ask me, I will tell you. I don't know. So, best I got.
All right. Well, my last book is, I read the new Black Panther Unconquered. Just because, you know, since it's Black Panther week, why not? So, and I didn't want to start on the actual Black Panther series current run. I was like, yeah, I don't, because God knows like where it is at this point. I don't know. So what better way to start on a limited series? So it starts off where
T'Challa,
thank you, is talking to one priestess about a god, their god.
Okay.
And they're having like a philosophy discussion about it. You know, like, she's like, well, do you have faith? And he's like, well, I have faith in myself. But she's like, no, I mean, do you have faith in your gods? And he wasn't really, he was doing the whole, well, I know they're there. And she's like, well, knowing that there's gods and having,
so he's having faith, like an existential crisis.
Yeah. It's almost okay. Like he's having that, like, but he's not like poor me. He's just looking at it through the mind of someone like his scientific background of this is the way it is. And as he's doing this, of course, here comes this terrorist group coming in. And I don't know if it is actually in Wakanda or if it's like a Wakanda colony. But there's a, you see this gentleman pray, this priest praying on the floor. And of course, this terrorist cell comes in and they're like, hey, we want this spear. They're talking about a spear. And the guy's like, well, here, the spear's there. And like, please, you know, spare my congregation because it's a whole church full of followers. And they're like,
right,
fine, whatever, just get out of our way. And then, of course, the head guy's like, no, he's like, we got to kill them all anyway. And as the group is about to kill them, here comes Black Panther. The leader of this terrorist cell is going down. Reclaims the spear of another god. So he claims that he's like, he took a couple of his minions, and apparently the power of the spear is not to be released unless it sheds blood. Well, of course, these zealots are like, okay, so you may kill me with the spear. So stabs a couple of his cronies, and the spear's activated, and you know, I got godlike powers now. Well, Black Panther takes care of the minions who were going to kill the followers, and the priest goes down to this hidden vault thing, and he starts fighting this guy with the spear. Of course, T'Challa grabs the sword, the Wakandan sword, and battles him with that. Of course, his superior skills, he kicks the dude's ass. But as he's doing this, he hits flashbacks of the Panther god fighting this other god. And it's almost like they're reenacting an ancient battle from long ago. And he... you know, it's kind of cool. Like, it's a kind of a cool sequence. At the end, it's, you know, Reed Richards and Dr. Strange, he's like meeting with them, letting them know that, hey, there's this new god with this spear. Mm-hmm. We got to look more into it. They grab the leader, the terrorist leader, and he's being in jail, and he's yelling about, we know you, something like that. And then again, we end up with T'Challa talking to the priestess, and she mentioned about they kind of get back to where they were, and then she mentions the god that is the holder of the spear. And then T'Challa is like, oh, you know of this god? And she's like, yes, I do. And then that's the end. So it was a really good start to the story, very smooth. A little bit of action thrown into the story, but for a building block of this series, it's pretty solid. So
it sounds like there's a lot going on too, which is
yeah, good. Yeah. Just enough to keep your interest peaked. Without like kind of jumbling it up a little bit, making it too preachy.
Right.
But it gets the point across of what's going on. So.
Right.
Enjoyed it.
That's good. It's good. All right. Now we are going to do a hopefully spoiler-free version of the Black Panther review. But if you don't want to hear it at all and you want to just wait and watch it, pause it, mark down the time, go watch it this weekend and then come back and listen to it.
We could always do a spoiler review next pod.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's really not, like, there was really nothing that was in the trailer that they didn't give away.
Well, there were two key characters, I think, that...
I'm not counting the end thing, though.
I'm counting N and a certain person that was throughout the movie that was not advertised to be in the movie, if you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, whatever. That's not really a big deal.
I'm just saying, like, if you're... You start connecting the dots when you start seeing people.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to talk about that character. We can just skip over it.
Okay. All right. We can do that.
So the movie starts out with, like, the funeral of T'Challa.
Well, before then. Before.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We had to watch it twice.
Yeah. Yeah, so we go to the screener. They get, like, 5 minutes in, and then it shuts off, and we're like, oh, that's not good. And here they were just waiting. They were restarting it because there were other people outside.
They said there were still coming in for the group. Good line of people that yet they got to. So, which, you know, that's nice of them. But yeah, they probably could have been more clear. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to adjust my camera. It seems to be kind of moving on its own here, which is fine because I'm cool with that because it's a screener. And, you know, yeah, it's... You know, you're on a list to see it before everybody else. So, you know, you don't want to miss anything. So,
but I mean, like, this was like no previews, no nothing, just right into the movie.
Yeah, okay, right into the movie.
It starts out with the death of T'Challa off screen. And I'm not going to go into the way he dies, but basically, the start of the plot is Shuri's trying to recreate the purple flower so it could save her brother, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen. T'Challa dies. Sweet funeral procession. Amazingly cool looking casket. Really great use of slow-mo for drama. And there's a scene, and you see it in the trailer, where there's like a wall that has Chadwick Boseman's face, like, graffitied on it. That was a really awesome tribute right there. Mm-hmm.
Tell them about that, the next step where they did that, though, too?
Well, I was going to say, like, so there's a couple times where Shuri specifically is, like, thinking about her brother, and they use scenes from the first movie, and it really, like, is a very well done tribute to him. Like, there are certain things where you're like, we're moving the story forward, but we're not forgetting anything that he had done.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job balancing that out throughout the movie.
Well, I was talking about the title, like, or the Marvel title beginning of every Marvel movie.
Oh, that was fucking sweet. So, you know, so it cuts to the Marvel flip page thing, whatever, but instead it's dead silent and it's all Chadwick Boseman. And it is, like, the most, like, I was like, wow, like, I got teary just watching it. It was crazy.
My wife was also with us. She said she was tearing up at that point, because she was like, that was nice. Yeah. That was very you're humble that, like, at least Marvel honor.
It was an honorable thing to do. Yes. I really do. I think it was honorable. So then, like, it's a lot of, or then it cuts to a scene where, basically, like, the queen is now reinstated as the ruler. She goes to a UN meeting. During the UN meeting, they're talking about vibranium and how, like, Wakanda should be trading it. Wakanda's like, no, because we don't trust anybody with it. So then you find out that other countries were basically hunting down vibranium. So you see France break into a building and get their ass kicked, and it's really funny. And then the US, though, is on the, like, they're digging in the ocean for vibranium, and they find it. And when they do, like the what the hell are they called, Talkins, like whatever it is that they're,
yeah,
what they should be Atlanteans, like totally attack this mining colony thing. It's crazy. UN blames Wakanda because they only know that Wakanda exists with vibranium. Namor shows up to talk to Shuri and her mom because he's like, look, you're the only guys with vibranium. We need your help to protect our people, and to protect our thing. And they're like, no. So then they're like, he's just like, well, they can detect it, and here's the thing. And if you can bring me the scientist who built this, then I'll leave you alone, and I'll just find my own battle. So they, thinking that it's like this crazy adult, like go and find out that it's actually Riri Williams. Mm-hmm. And the way they describe this contraption was awesome. It's like, some things look like they're found in like a real pristine shop, and then the other ones look like someone just like dumpster dive.
Yeah.
Which really made me go, okay, wow, that's very Riri. So they go and talk to Riri at MIT.
And I have to say, this is very, Riri was definitely doing the Spider-Man Tom Holland in the whole movie as general.
You know what, though?
There was like, just enough of her to be like, okay, cool. And an intro to the character without trying to put too much emphasis on her.
Yeah. I think I said this to you last night, but like, if they were to write the comic version of her, like they had her on screen, I would like it more. But like, the comic version is either like excessively snotty, or is like really, really timid. Like, there's no in between. And this version, there, it's in between. Like, she comes off a little bit snotty at first because she's just smarter than you, but then eventually becomes a little more timid when she realizes that she's not the only brain in the building.
Especially,
there's some great scenes with that, though. What's that?
Especially when she meets Shuri and you know, she was like more fangirl. Like, oh God. You know, like I said, very Tom Holland, where when he meets Tony Stark, he's like, oh God, Tony Stark. You know, and basically the similar formula, you know. But it was, at least it had the purpose, and it was you know, I didn't mind the portrayal. It was fine to me. So
yeah, I liked it a lot. So basically, like, the rest of the movie is pretty much in a very easy sum up, is Riri and Shuri and I can never say it right, whatever the lady warriors are.
Yes.
The Demolier, I believe is how you say it.
Yes.
So them basically fighting against rescuing Riri from the Atlanteans, and then they have a big fight with the Atlanteans. There's some really great scenes in there where like Namor takes Shuri to his capital city. We do a cool like background for Namor, which was kind of nice. And it really, it like, but it like made sense though. Yes. Right.
Yes.
Even if it's not comic accurate, it made sense.
Yes. They pulled the, we know this is not the OG that comic lovers or comic guys like us would know it, but if you're looking at it reality wise, like in this current, the MCU universe, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm cool with that. Right. And it wasn't outlandish.
Yep.
And he also did say one key word, mutant.
Yep.
Said mutant. So
And the fact that he's like 570 years old mm-hmm. is pretty spot on with his regular character. But mm-hmm. the way they blended, how they got there, that they basically built this underwater city instead of it being a sunken city, is very cool. And basically, like, the other vibranium meteorite crashed near them, right? And that's that. So that's where they're hunting that vibranium. They know there's other vibranium, blah blah. So the two nations have are getting ready to or have a one fight, and Shuri ends up figuring out how to replicate the Purple Heart, because she realizes that there needs to be a Black Panther. So she replicates it correctly due to some story plot lines that I will not give away because I want you to see it. And it moves the story along pretty well. And so she does that, does the Panther Realm thing. There's a cool guest appearance in the Ancestral Plane.
Yes.
And then, which I wasn't expecting, but it made a whole lot of sense.
Yep.
like,
yeah, but that also gives it opens for the next Black Panther movie, which we did see at the end. There will be more Black Panther, so right. This is not the last you will see of Black Panther,
right? So then Shuri becomes Black Panther. Spoiler, sorry. Like no one knew that was coming. Come on. For the three people watching, you all knew. I know you knew.
Yeah. And for those who are like, oh, it's the most woke thing ever. Congrats, Disney, you ruined Marvel. Okay, again, I'm gonna say it for like what the umpteenth billionth time. It's in the books, it does happen in the comics. Get over it.
And similar circumstances in the
yes,
comics too.
Yes. So it's you.
Yeah.
For those people who think that the, like every Marvel movie is now a woke movie, you're kind of wrong on this end. So.
No, Marvel comics have been woke since 1965.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. You guys just. Yeah. I was going to say you guys are like a few decades late to the party there, yeah. Buddy.
Right. Anyway. So there's this awesome fight that goes down. There's an awesome Namor Shuri fight. There's some great M'Baku scenes. Mm-hmm. Big fight at the end happens. And then, Shuri just kind of goes off to Haiti to visit Nokoye. And that's pretty much the movie, really. Mm-hmm. Like in a nutshell, because we want you guys to go and see it and enjoy it. Did I enjoy it? Absolutely. It's about an hour and a half or 2.5 hours. Yes. The action scenes are great. There are many action scenes where you can get up and go pee like I did.
Yeah. So. They're well placed. There's a purpose for them all. It's not, oh, it's this just for the sake of it. It's like I told you yesterday, for a movie that was pushed back. For a movie that they had to rewrite because Chadwick died during the beginning of it, middle of it, whatever you want to say.
I think they weren't filming yet, but they were writing it.
Yeah, they were writing it. So they did for a rewritten, postponed, COVID hit during this, and then they were filming during COVID during this. This was probably, I want to say, is this the best Marvel movie of the year?
I think this was I personally felt this was the best Marvel movie we've gotten since the pandemic kickback.
I would probably have to agree. If not the best, second best, maybe to Spider-Man.
I'm gonna still go with best. I like this better than I like Spider-Man.
Yeah, but it's like it's those two.
Right.
I will put the back and forth. You could go.
Well, Spider-Man, a lot of people love, and I get it, but I already had it way further down. Like, I liked Eternals, like, really, like, that was, or Shang-Chi, and then Eternals, and then but I'd probably now go Black Panther, Shang-Chi, Eternals. Okay.
So it's still top three. Top three Marvel movie, you know, it's...
Of the phase.
Yes, of the phase.
Until Ant-Man comes out, it probably kicks its ass, but... You know,
yeah, but we'll see. Not until next year.
So yeah, that's not, true.
We're
that's
worried true. About like this year, the rest of this year. This will be the movie that I think will. I don't know if it'll do as good as OG Black Panther, but it will do better than Black Adam.
So that's not hard.
Let's be fair. Black Adam is doing well.
Yeah,
for
the it is, like, it is very, doing very well.
You know, it's
But this is going to go top
three in grossing. So. Yeah. Yeah. After this weekend, I imagine it's going to get knocked off its perch there at the one and two spot there. So
I will say the only thing that I had, the only thing I had a problem with, only thing, is that the actress who plays Shuri is really skinny. And it's just weird to see her in the suit because she's like really, really skinny. And it almost looks fake because of that, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of mentioned that to me and my wife as we were talking about this. She's like, that's almost better though, because she kind of actually looks like a cat during certain action sequences. So it kind of fits the Panther aesthetic. I was like, yeah, but it looks odd. Like at certain points, you know. Right. So I get what you're saying. I get what she's saying. I had no issue one way or the other. Like we knew it was gonna be her, you know. I had no illusions on that. There were a lot of surprises that I'm like, oh, I did not expect certain characters to show up. We will not mention that because that will spoil pretty much the entirety of the movie. And I don't want to do that. Like you said, we want you guys to go see it. It's enjoyable. When Marvel does put their, you know, full effort into it, they will put out an excellent movie again. You know, it just happens to be a few of the lulls that they hit, you know.
Yeah.
So I consider this probably the best movie. You know, this, Shang-Chi, and Spider-Man are probably the best three of the year. You know,
cool.
Technically,
Shang-Chi was last year, though. Yeah. Actually, and Spider-Man was, weren't they? Yeah. Hold on.
Was it? I thought Shang-Chi came out in January or February.
Because
I know it wasn't like Spider-Man was December so of last year. I want to say Shang-Chi was after that, so
nope. So hold on, here we go. So the four Marvel movies this year were three. I was right the first time. Doctor Strange was the free comic book day one. Thor Love and Thunder was summer, and Wakanda Forever. And there was nothing in the early part of the year.
Okay. Okay.
Damn. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know, however, that there was a new Toxic Avenger movie released this year?
No.
Apparently, that came up on here, and I was like, "What?
When did that come out?"
It might be never mind. It's a remaster of the original.
Oh, so, I was gonna say, really? You think they would have gone for that?
Right. But anyway, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Definitely go see it, enjoy it, and I think that's about it. So. Yeah. Short week this week, small week this week anyway.
Yeah.
So, but
definitely. Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
We will see you guys next week. And then we're off for Thanksgiving. And we're going to come back with our 200th episode. So, fun times. All right. Yeah. Later, guys.
See ya.